And today's topic is the theme of stress. Stress. I wonder who feels a bit stressed this morning? Who feels a bit stressful this morning? We all know what stress feels like in many ways. And it's a big factor in the work that we do. And just to reorientate ourselves by work, if you remember, we're talking about whatever activity it is that we invest most of our time in outside of church on a Sunday morning, from a Monday through to a Saturday. If we look at the world around us, the pace of life continues to increase. The demands on us from others grow. Expectations become higher. And technology, for all its benefits, means that somehow we're supposed to cram more and more and more into our already busy and hectic lives. Of all the lifestyle issues we face in the United Kingdom, stress is actually becoming the most prevalent. One in five visits to the doctor in the United Kingdom, for both adults and for children, is for stress-related illness. In the light of that, we just might want to ask the questions, how do we live well in a stressed-out environment? Is stress just a fact of modern living? And can faith make any difference? We all know what it's like to feel stressed. You don't need me to explain to you what that might feel like. But trying to define what brings it about can be a little bit harder. One helpful definition, it doesn't encompass everything, but one helpful definition is that stress is the point at which others' expectations of us and our ability to deliver on those expectations fail to match. So other people's expectations on us and our ability to meet those expectations and deliver on them fail to match. In other words, there's a mismatch between what others want us to do or expect of us and our ability to do those things. And it's often those sorts of times when actually we start to feel quite stressed. I can't get this done. How am I going to do this? So we hear the phrases like, I'm stressed out, I'm really pushed, I'm out of control, I'm not coping. And we know when we're stressed that actually it's exhausting. Exhaustion and stress go hand in hand. Feeling squeezed on every side is not a good place to be in, and it can cause us to have lots of negative effects. There are physical effects that we'll all know quite well from those times when we feel stress. We might not be able to eat, we lose our appetite. We may get some stomach problems, we may not be able to sleep at night. We sometimes might even get a tightness of the chest. There was a study done in America that revealed that continual stress actually puts the same strain on a person's heart as being 40 pounds overweight. And the same strain on blood pressure as aging about 30 years for the period when you're stressed. It has serious physical effects. We know also it has psychological effects. You know, we become distracted. We're not able to focus and concentrate on the thing we're trying to do. Might be we have some irrational fears. For some of us, it might be we become unnaturally irritable or even aggressive to people around us for whom we'd normally have quite calm relationships with. Physical effects, psychological effects, but I believe there can also be spiritual effects. Because stress actually destroys our perspective. It can make us become quite self-absorbed. And so it can impact our relationships with other people and even with God himself. You know, when we're stressed, it's quite hard to see beyond ourselves, our own situation. And so it's really hard when you're stressed to see where God fits in and where he is in any of this situation at all. There's a famous parable of the sower that Jesus tells, where a farmer goes out into the field and he just walks along and he scatters seed. Not like we do it today on big industrial farming, but he just scatters the seed as he walks. And because he's scattering it like that, some falls on a path and some falls on some rocky ground and some falls on ground that's got lots of thorns and some falls on some ground that's got really well-prepared soil. And the seed that falls on the ground that's got well-prepared soil, it quickly produces little green shoots and they grow into strong plants and those plants grow and they produce lots of fruit. And the seed that falls on all the other ground, well, those plants struggle. And actually none of those plants become fruitful. And when Jesus tries to explain that parable, one of the categories he explains is the seed that falls among the thorny ground. And he says there that those grow well into small plants, but are then choked by the big thorns that are there, because they're stronger plants, and they choke these little plants, so they stay small and they wither. And he described this seed, those struggling plants, as like people for whom the worries of this life crowd in and choke the gospel. They choke the good news that we know, and so make them unfruitful in life. Well, we can often be stressed, can't we, by the worries of this life. The long hours we work, or the unrealistic deadlines that we're given. Targets to achieve, just paying the mortgage, just filling the fridge. Another trip to see aging parents, another trip to help out with grandchildren, just to try and keep up. And such things can actually make us unfruitful. In other words, not able to live the way that God wants us to live in the places he's put us. We're not able to have the positive impact that we could have for the kingdom. So how do we respond to stress? Whether it's in the office, whether it's at home, whether it's at school, anywhere where those expectations of others and our ability to deliver on them don't match. Or we don't feel we can do the things we're asked to do. Well, I think the Bible gives some great advice on how we can begin to influence the way that we react to those outside pressures that cause the stress. Pressure's not the same as stress. The pressures cause the stress. And we need to know, I think, what God's given us to equip us, to enable us to react in a constructive way to those pressures from the outside. So I'd just like to give four ways today from the Bible that we can start to do that. It's not totally comprehensive. It's not everything the Bible says about it. We've only got 25 minutes or so. But it's a good start. And I'd like to say to you this morning, if you've come this morning feeling a little bit stressed, maybe there's just one of these ways particularly that will be most helpful for you this morning. So the first thing I'd like to say is that we just need to first of all look at Jesus. We need to remember Jesus. And we need to remember that Jesus knew all about stress. I think that's really important because if we're here today as people who are trying to follow Jesus, then it means that we're following someone who knows all about what we go through. He's been there, he knows what it's like, and he's come out the other side. And so he's got quite a few lessons we could probably learn. See, Jesus knew what it was like to feel hemmed in, but he also knew what it was like to be called to a higher purpose. Jesus, if you read the Gospels, was in constant demand as a public figure. He was hardly ever left alone. People wanted him to be king and to be available all the time for all of their needs. He knew exhaustion. He struggled to get time away. He was constantly misunderstood, denied by his closest friend, and betrayed by one of his inner circle. One stressful day is recorded in Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 56. I don't have time to read all of those verses, but I'm going to read someone's summary of them. One day in the life of Jesus. See how this compares to yours. Jesus and the disciples set out in a boat, and Jesus immediately fell asleep, totally exhausted, so that even a raging storm can't stir him. He's woken up by his panicking disciples, and so he quells the storm in one word. Immediately when he sets foot on the opposite shore, he's attacked by a demon-possessed man, who brings ruin to the local Gadarene farming community by crushing all their herds of pigs into the lake. After that, the fearful people urge him to leave, pushing him into the boat so they go to the other side of the lake. Hardly has he set foot on the other side of the lake than someone called Jairus comes up, falls at his feet and says, "My daughter's dying, would you make her better?" En route, he's mobbed and his garment touched in faith by a woman who's been bleeding for many years and whom he heals. Then Jairus' daughter dies. Someone comes and tells him not to bother to go, but Jesus nonetheless keeps going. He arrives, he shuts up the funeral wailers, saying that she's only asleep and she's not really dead. They laugh at him, but he raises her from the dead anyway. One day in the life of Jesus. Exhaustion, loneliness, traveling, trying to catch up on sleep, interrupted sleep, the demands of friends, the fear of failure, and the taunts of the crowd. Pretty normal day for Jesus. He knew what stress was. Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knew what stress was. Probably the most stressful experience in the life of Jesus Christ. He wrestles with God about the awful fate that awaits him by dying on the cross and the torture before. He's distressed, he's troubled. He even tells his disciples, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. And Luke tells us that he was in such anguish as he prayed, that he prayed so earnestly that his sweat that dropped from his forehead was like drops of blood falling on the ground. Oh, Jesus was stressed before any, in a sense, much more than anything we will ever know, as he reconciled himself to be obedient to God and go to the cross. Whenever Jesus was up against it, and he was up against it most days, he knew the effects of stress, but in those effects, he showed a conviction of his calling and a reliance on the power of God to help him. A conviction of his calling and a reliance on the power of God to help. And I think as followers of Jesus, we can do the same. You know, when we feel overwhelmed by the demands that are put on us, we need to face those pressures, not to run away from them. Jesus didn't run away from them. But we face them convinced that God is with us, convinced that we're in the place where God has put us, in other words, convinced of our call, and simply asking God to empower us, to help us like Jesus through our stress. Philippians chapter 4, the reading that Peter read for us so beautifully. Paul gives some helpful advice when we're facing stress. I'm going to refer to it a few times as we go through this talk, because the context is about what to do when we're feeling anxious. And anxiety is a big symptom of when we're feeling stressed. We feel very anxious. And in verse 6, he says, don't be anxious about anything. We'll come on to why he can say that in a minute. He goes on to explain how, and so I think it's really relevant we look at those verses. But first of all, we need to remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. Secondly, though, we need to get a bigger picture. A bigger picture of life. Get a bigger picture of life. What I mean by this is that we need to lift our heads above the present situation to see something that's bigger than where we are. In Philippians 3, verse 20, at the beginning of those words that Peter read, this is what Paul tells us. He says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, he will transform our lowly bodies so they'll be like his glorious body. Our citizenship is in heaven, Paul says. Paul wants his readers to get this eternal perspective. And he wants us to have an eternal perspective. To look to the glorious future we have in Jesus Christ and to remember that nothing can stop that happening. As verse 21 says, Jesus has the power to bring everything under his control. And so he will transform our bodies to be like his glorious body. It's a certainty. It's a fact. We will be raised to eternal life. We will live with God forever. That is our ultimate destiny. Interestingly, this perspective of eternity is where Jesus starts when he's with his disciples, when he gives them some really bad news that he's about to leave them and die. And they are seriously anxious and stressed about what that's going to mean. He says in those famous words in John chapter 14, he says, look, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it weren't that way, I'd have told you. And so I'm going to go away to prepare a place for you. And if I do that and go and prepare a place for you, then I will come back and I'll take you to be with me. He lifts their focus from where they are now and their worries and their stresses to eternal perspective. And he wants them to see their lives in this wider context so that what's stressing them out is somehow more manageable to deal with. So I think if we can get this bigger picture, this eternal perspective, this wider context for God's plan for our lives, then it helps us to see our current situation much more manageably. And can I say, it's not just because of that future, but it's because actually if we truly believe that Jesus can bring about that bigger picture, then surely he can help us in our present situation. The smaller details, where we are today. If we know that God has plans for me, if we know that God loves me, it transforms our view. And when we're in times of stress, we just need to somehow, it can be so hard because we feel so pressed, but we somehow just need to carve out 5 minutes, 10 minutes, space. So we somehow can remind ourselves of that bigger picture, that certain future, that eternal perspective. So remember Jesus and get a bigger picture. Thirdly, I think these verses encourage us to take joy seriously. Bit of a strange phrase. Take joy seriously. In verse 4 of Philippians 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice." In times of stress, Paul's encouraging us to look around us to just find joy in the life that we live. Now, of course, we can begin with the great news of salvation that we have in Jesus. And not just that secure future we've just talked about, but everything we have in Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord, Paul says. In other words, everything the Lord has done in you. And if you don't know where to start with that, maybe just reading Ephesians chapter 1 would be a great thing to see all the benefits that we have in Jesus Christ. But also, I think it's rejoicing in everything the Lord's done for us. Not just what he's done in us, but what he's done for us. And if you were here this last week, then this picks up a little bit what we were talking about last Sunday, where I talked about the fact that we can look back to the things God has done in the past to give us hope and confidence for the present and the future. So we need to look back to the times and the ways that God has blessed us in the past. To the times that actually God's got us through those times that have been really hard and were stressful, and we've seen how he's lifted us through them and he's got us here. And trust that because of that we can have confidence for now. To rejoice in those past experiences. To give thanks to him for those and so have that confidence for now. But you know, I think we can also find joy in just the tiny things of life. The things that often just pass us by. The things that just lift our spirits as we just go about our day-to-day life. I don't know about you, but you walk down the street and maybe it's quiet and you just hear a bird singing. And it's a beautiful sound. Or you see a smiling face in the crowd of sad faces on the train. Or a couple holding hands. Or a beautiful sunset. Or an amazing piece of architecture. Whatever it may be, they're all from God because they're the result of his goodness and his creativity and his imprint on our world. And we need to look for those little things that will give us just a sense of joy, of thanks, that lifts our spirits. Rejoice, Paul says. He says it because he knows that we need to remind ourselves that God is good so we can genuinely rejoice. And it makes a difference to mood. Remember Jesus. Get a bigger picture. Take joy seriously. Lastly, take control of our thoughts. Paul encourages us to take control of our thoughts. Listen to verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things." Paul tells us that we should focus on things that are excellent and praiseworthy in God's eyes. And that's so important when we feel stressed, because when we have times of high anxiety, our thoughts can become so negative, and it's very easy for them just to spiral down and down and down and down. But as Christians, Paul tells us in Romans 12, 2, we're meant to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. In other words, the way we think is meant to be different. And God, by his Spirit, he tells us, can help us to change our thinking as we choose to control what we open up our minds to. Paul says we should think about things that are true and noble and right, pure, lovely, admirable. Where do you think we find such things? We find them here. We find them in the Bible, which is the revelation of the God who is perfectly true and perfectly noble and perfectly right, perfectly pure. perfectly lovely, perfectly admirable. In other words, the first very practical way we take control of our thoughts is simply to be reading the Bible. To be immersed in the scriptures, to reflect on God's words. In the words of Psalm 1, to meditate on his law day and night. My word meditation is not the way that people use it today where you empty your mind of something. It's actually filling your mind. It's reading the words and ruminating on them. That word of how a cow eats the grass. It eats some grass and it chews on it and it's a bit disgusting really. It swallows it and then it brings it up again and chews on it a bit more and swallows it and brings it up again and chews a bit more just to get as much of the goodness out of it as it can. And that's what we're supposed to do with the scriptures. Let them soak into our minds, into our thinking, into our hearts, into our lives. And in times of stress, we need this reality check, don't we? Because actually, how are we going to remind ourselves of what's good and right? Because we do live under pressure. We can't escape the pressure. The question is, how do we deal with it? And I'm going to suggest that actually looking at the people around us, looking at the world around us, even looking at the life's complications of our circumstances, they're not going to help us to have the right perspective. It's by reading the Bible that we get the right perspective. See, when I'm feeling really stressed and I think, I can't do anything about this, I don't know what to do, where do I go? And then I read the scriptures and I see evidence of a God who is so great and so powerful and so mighty, yet loves me so much and wants to be in the little details of my life. It causes me just to have to go, Lord, over to you. Only you can really make sense of this complex, stressful situation that I face, and I desperately need your help. And that's prayer, isn't it? We start to pray. And that's the second practical way we take control of our thoughts. We read the scriptures and we pray. What does Paul say in verse 6 of Philippians 4? Some very famous words from the Bible. Andy, I think, quoted these last week even. Do not be anxious about anything. You did, didn't you? But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Do not be anxious about anything. How? Well, Paul says we should take our anxious thoughts and give them to God. To pray. To talk to him about them. To petition him. And I think that word petition has that sort of understanding of to lay the situation out before him. In all its complexity of our understanding. And it's not because God doesn't know, but it's more so that we can actually lay it before him. Lay bare before him. We can tell him why it's so stressful. We can tell him what we're feeling. We can tell him what it is that we think he should do and what we think we'd like to happen. That's what you do with a petition. If you sign something, we're going to petition about something. I'd like you to do this. And you take it to somebody and say, these 2,000 people think this. God, this is what I'm thinking of this situation. I don't understand it, but this is what it's like and this is what I feel. And help. But we do it with thanksgiving. We talked about this when we talked about joy. We remember all that God's done for us, all that God's done in us, the little things in life. And so it gives us that bigger perspective in our prayers. And what's the result of giving those anxious thoughts to God? To not be anxious about anything, but by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present them to God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. It's a promise, guys, here. And we need to claim the promises in the Bible. A conditional promise. If we offer God by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, our anxious thoughts, then he will give us his peace, which transcends all understanding. It's a promise. And can I say, God's peace is much more than just a transient, passing feeling of, maybe after someone's told you to count slowly to 10, taking deep breaths. And then when you leave the room, it disappears. It's a deep contentment. It's an assurance. It's a confidence. It's a trust. It's a belief that God is in control and that as he tells us in Romans, he will work everything out for his good. Everything for his good. Jesus says in John chapter 14, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, but trust in God and do not be afraid. Can I say, if we want to de-stress, if we want to deal with stress effectively, then we need to root ourselves in God's peace, the peace he's given us in Jesus Christ and the peace he will give us if we give him our anxiety. But it needs nurturing our relationship at all times. Not just in the stressful, but when things are good in preparation for the stressful. And we do it through reading the Bible and through prayer. Oh, guys, it's not complicated. You know, following Jesus isn't necessarily meant to be complicated. And God again and again always takes us back again and again and again to the Bible and to prayer, to the Bible and to prayer, to the Bible and to prayer. Nelson, the famous admiral in English history, was somebody who had a daily habit that he pursued. Twice daily, all his life. From when he was very young, he studied and recorded the weather. What the wind, what the waves, what the swell, what the temperature was doing. He did so whether he was out at sea, he did so whether he was at home on land. Must have been quite a dull routine, actually, if you knew him, but there we are. Yet in the moment of critical judgment at that Battle of Trafalgar, Nelson drew on that reservoir of knowledge that he had and the insights he observed. He saw that there was a change in the swell of the sea that pointed to an advancing storm that was going to come. And so instead of the conventional way that the ships would line up, which was in parallel, side to side, he actually seized the advantage and he sliced through the waves and he destroyed the Armada on the other side. His daily habit had given him the experience and the confidence to make that judgment at a critical time in the nation's history. And when we talk about stress, I think that's really relevant. Because stress can seem like a storm in our life. And none of us know when the storms are going to hit. But we can be prepared like Nelson. The key way we get prepared is to read the scriptures, to get that bigger perspective, pray, to receive God's peace. I don't know where you all are this morning. I know where I am, but I don't know where you all are. But if today you're in a time of stress, or you think a time of stress is coming soon, can I encourage you those four things? To remember Jesus. He knows all about our situation. To get that bigger picture, that eternal perspective that just lifts us beyond our context. To take joy seriously, to rejoice in the big things and the small things in our salvation and in life. And maybe something you could even do from tomorrow morning. To take control of our thoughts as we commit to soak ourselves in the scriptures. And to talk to God in prayer, and so receive his peace. Let me pray. Father, for those this morning who are feeling stressed and anxious and worried, let's hear these words of Paul. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer, petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, may we know your peace this morning. May we feel your peace this morning. And may we be prepared whatever you put in our path this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.